93.7 Express FM. We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever. Forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing Play Up Pompey. It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
It was back to winning ways for Pompey on Tuesday evening.
Burgess's header, and the ball is in the net! Marquis looked across to the linesman, the flag didn't go up. Portsmouth have finally found the back of the net.
The Blues bounced back from defeat with the all-important 3 points in midweek, and one man who was pleased with the result was Kenny Jackett.
You have to look at a process behind that to be able to achieve those results.
We'll be hearing from him later in the show, as well as vice-captain Lee Brown.
The manager, the staff, everyone's frustrated. Of course, it's only natural to be frustrated.
So make sure to keep it 93.7 FM between now and 7 to hear from both of those, and also the thoughts of you back home too. Tonight, we're going to be talking about Monday's FA Cup first round draw and Tuesday's victory over Lincoln, with Andy Cannon and John Marquis at the forefront of this evening's conversation. 81400 is the number to text if you want to get involved. Start your messages with the word Express. It's Pompey at expressfm.com on the emails, or at expressfm on Twitter. So don't turn that dial any other way. There's plenty coming up on tonight. Show right here on the only radio station that is passionately Pompey. A very warm welcome to the Friday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Hello and welcome again to tonight's edition of the Football Hour on Express FM, sponsored by our friends over at Stagecoach Buses, who offer adult day rider tickets at a discounted price of £4.10. All you have to do is download the Stagecoach Bus app, which you can find on either the Apple app or Google Play stores. A week of mixed emotions at PO4. Okay, let's now bring in my two guests for tonight's show, and we start off by introducing Pompey audio description commentator Mark Coates. Mark, good evening and welcome back.
Good evening, good to be back.
And alongside Mark tonight, also returning, is the assistant manager of the Pompey Women, James Wilson. James, it's also great to see you again.
Good evening.
Okay, let's start off with the start of the week, really. We won't go back to last weekend's game at Wimbledon, but we'll start off with the FA Cup draw, Mark. And Pompey, ball number 35, were drawn away to ball number 60, which was Harrogate Town. What do you make of the draw? I know a lot of Pompey fans were perhaps out there expecting, or rather hoping, for a different game. You know, you don't want this, you know, at home to Wimbledon or Accrington, or, you know, these typical games you kind of play in week in, week out. It's something different.
Yeah, and the Pompey fans are all romantics, aren't we? We buy into the FA Cup, and we're a proper, as I've said before, proper working class, you know, football club. We don't all wander out sort of early for our prawn sandwiches and come back in late and leave before the whistle. You know, we have a massive following that go all the way to places like Harrogate, and I'd still expect that, despite the fact it's on it's on a Monday night,
yeah,
and it's on TV. I'd still expect them to do that. I think Pompey fans are quite enjoying that. I know your friend and regular guest Ryan Steele. Well, he was saying he couldn't wait another ground to tick off. So I think all Pompey fans will buy into that.
Yeah, and good really for a team like Harrogate, James, to get a former FA Cup winner in Portsmouth coming to their ground and bringing in this revenue, the TV money as well. So you've got to think of it from their point of view as well. They're going to be buzzing for the game.
Yes, it's a classic FA Cup tie, isn't it? It's everything the competition's about. Probably not ideal from a management point of view. Probably a sort of tie you want to avoid because it's a no-win situation, yep, for Pompey. But in terms of Harrogate, yeah, great story for them.
What do you make, James, of the decision from BT Sport to put it to a Monday night game? Monday the 11th of November, 7:45 kickoff. That's one hell of a journey for Pompey fans.
Well, it's terrible, really, isn't it, if we're being honest? Obviously, the club will benefit from the money and the television rights. But ultimately, it's a fans' game, and to move it to a Monday night is criminal.
Yeah. We'll move on to another draw in the FA Cup, Mark, which doesn't really affect Pompey, but it is local football nonetheless. Chichester were given the bye at the expense of Bury's expulsion from the league. So they'll go straight into round two of the FA Cup and immediately receive a £36,000 prize money as well. So great for them. Fantastic.
Absolutely fantastic story, that, isn't it, as well? And again, this is something that Pompey fans will love. It's romantic, isn't it? But I did hear, and I don't know if this will come to pass, that they're going to give some of that money to
Bury.
They did tweet that.
Yeah.
Do you think, if that does go ahead, if they do that, fair play to them. And again, that's something that maybe should send a message to the bigger clubs, who not all of whom did help out as much as they could have done.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take a moment away from the draw then, James, and talk about Tuesday's game at home to Lincoln City. Back in League One action, off the back of a 1-0 defeat at Wimbledon last weekend. And really, it was 3 points and a clean sheet as well that Pompey needed.
Yeah, it was atmosphere on a knife edge. Could have gone either way. I think for the players, the staff, and it was about getting through the game, getting 3 points in the bag. Sometimes you have to see their moments through, and they did.
Yeah. What did you make of the performance, Mark? Because it wasn't the prettiest again, but at the end of the day, we've ground out the result, we've got the 3 points, and I think from a defensive point of view, we look solid.
We do. I have to say, James really came across as management there. That was that was a proper management response to that. Yeah. I think, because if I was representing the fans, another blooming boring game, isn't it?
It was.
I don't know if we did need to keep a clean sheet. I couldn't care less about clean sheets. Yeah. We were talking before, the thing that we like best is scoring goals. That's where we all go, that's when there's absolute scenes, when we all start leaping around. We like scoring goals, and we're not scoring goals at the moment. And it was, Pompey fans like good football. They'll keep going no matter what. But I did see one tweet from a chap who comes up from Somerset for every single game, and he said, I don't know if I can't find the motivation to come anymore. Yeah. Of course, there are Pompey fans from all over who come to Fratton Park, but he was struggling, and I don't think that performance, despite the fact it was a good result, and the management and staff will be happy, and that's what they were going for. I don't think it's enough to win all the fans over.
We've got a good cop versus bad cop in the studio this afternoon.
Who's good cop then?
James, Mark mentions there the goals that really Pompey fans are crying out for. John Marquis was back on the score sheet, and really good to see him. A prolific goal scorer, undoubtedly. That's the second league goal of the season, and you can't help but think or really hope that that's going to be that goal, the catalyst to really push him forward and hopefully get him regularly scoring.
Yeah, obviously, the thing is, when you play in Marquis's position, you're relying on everyone else. And at the moment, we're not creating enough opportunities for him. I'd love to see his chance conversion rate percentage, because I think Tuesday he had the one shot from range, and obviously I know it's a tap in, but it's been in the right place. So I think the onus is on everyone for John Marquis's goal stats to improve.
What did you make of Ross McCrory on Tuesday, Mark? A player who played at right back, and Kenny Jackett has really hinted that he likes to see him there.
Yeah, he does, and I'm not convinced that's the right place for him. Why have we got three anyway? Why have we got three right backs? I don't see him as a right back.
He's not a natural right back.
Well, exactly. I don't think he sees himself as a right back. And actually, I think he got him in originally. We were talking about this before, weren't we?
Yeah.
Probably to cover Naylor's position. And he's a lone player, so we don't want to rely on him anyway. Because it's fairly recent history, isn't it? The way that all went wrong. So we don't want to rely on him too much. And I don't think we've got a duty to really develop him. He's there as backup. I could see him though, and again, something we were talking about before, I could see him at centre back, and there's reasons for that, and again, it comes down to scoring, and I don't think that we're necessarily lacking in midfield in terms of quality, but we're not seeing like Matt Clark carry the ball out and that high passing percentage. And taking a tip again from your friend Ryan, I've gone and looked up a couple of stats. McCrory, along with Brown, has got the highest passing percentage out of all the personnel at the back at 78%. And he's 6'3" as well. You can believe that.
Yeah, I was shocked.
It says on paper anyway. He's 6'3", and he is a strong boy. And I think he could be good at the back. I think Burgess is playing well at the moment, and I think maybe Raggett could make way for him, and that might make up for that gap. I mean, Matt Clark scoring 82.4% pass rate in the Championship. That's what's missed.
Shows his quality, doesn't it?
Oh, for sure.
We'll go back to Ross McCrory later in the show, James. Well, I want to ask you about James Bolton. How would you feel in his shoes? Because he's not been bad for Pompey. I don't think he's put in a bad shift anywhere. Yeah. But Kenny Jackett just doesn't see him as a fullback who likes to move forward and have that kind of burst of energy down the wing and supporting the wingers?
Yeah, it's a difficult situation for him at the moment. I mean, it's something we touched on again before we came on. It's difficult to build form when you're not getting a run of games.
Yeah.
So if you look at Raggett, for example, I know many Pompey fans still want to see more from him, but in the last run of games that he's been playing, you have seen gradual improvements as he's settled into the team.
Yeah.
So he's having a chance to build confidence, get into good habits, whereas I think with James Bolton, I don't know if he's still coming back from fitness fully and that's why he's in and out, but yeah, I feel for him a little bit in that sense.
Okay, let's hear now from the Blues boss Kenny Jackett ahead of this weekend's match at Bristol Rovers. Our fellows Johnny Moore asked the gaffer if it's about time form starts to pick up on the road.
We've had obviously a very good win at Doncaster. There's a lot we did right at Wimbledon in terms of, you know, our build up play, our control of the game, chances we created, but we didn't get it over the line to the win, and that's the important thing, and that's a crucial difference. It's not something that, you know, it's not a difference that we should underestimate. But similarly for the players, there's a lot that they did right on that particular day. We have to take those things, try to be, if we can, in control of the game like we did. Won't always be easy, and every opposition needs respecting, and obviously Bristol Rovers will get our full respect and preparation. You know, similarly, if I'm looking now in the last five games, we've won three, we've drawn one, and we've lost one, and we want to keep building on that if we can. That's really important. So big game Saturday, one we're looking forward to.
Does the good work you do then get lost in the midst of results?
Well, it is all about working towards results, and results are the bottom line, there's no doubt about that. But similarly, you have to look at a process behind that to be able to achieve those results, and you know, for us, I do feel there's a bit more defensive stability, not so many goals from conceded from set pieces. You never eradicate it completely because it's a big part of the game in, you know, in both boxes, but you know, we have improved in those areas. That's only a base to work off, and you know, we want to be, you know, one of the best in the division in terms of goals against. But similarly then, to try to, you know, get to the stage where we can be free flowing and create and ultimately then score goals going forward, that's our aim. But as I said, if we're looking at the last five games, there's a build up, but it doesn't necessarily count for anything. We have to make sure we go down to Bristol, you know, with a positive mindset, do everything we can to try to win the game, and bring back the points.
McCrory came in for Bolton. What did that give you?
I feel we, you know, in terms of, you know, dynamic player going forward, somebody could bring the ball out from the back. That's, you know, what we need, particularly down that side, and you know, where James is maybe a more established defender. You know, we're looking at sort of breaking forward, getting into good areas, getting into wide areas, and being strong. We just saw a glimpse of that in the second half where he burst out, but then instead of maybe just then going past the last defender, which he was capable of, and you know, I've looked at him at that particular incident since with him, where he can just go and, you know, sweep past people. He checked and sort of went inside to John, but similarly, it's a little bit of a cameo, if you like, of what he can do. You know, we saw earlier in the season anyway, when he played there, Coventry and then Sunderland away, where, you know, he has the athleticism to go and you know, take people on and make things happen from there. And for him, it'll be interesting, you know, when he plays there again, if he can build on that. You know, he's been a regular now for Scotland under 21s in that position, and getting the best out of him is obviously what we're trying to do.
Kenny Jackett there speaking prior to tomorrow's game. You can hear that interview again and the second part of it too when Pompey Live returns from 2 p.m. tomorrow afternoon. We are just approaching the end of the first part of this evening's show, so we're going to head off for a short break, after which we'll be referring to some of the text, tweets and emails sent in from you back home, the Pompey fans. If you haven't done so already, then the ways to get involved are as follows. Text Express and your message to 81400, email Pompey at expressfm.com, or find us on Twitter at ExpressFM. He's clearly a young player with a lot of potential, but is Ross McCrory best suited at right back, or do you think his talents are being wasted there? What next for John Marquis? He netted a long-awaited goal in the week. Could that be the start of another deadly season for the prolific striker? And after three wins from the last five games in the league, are you growing more confident of a top six finish come the final game of the season in May, or do you still believe that the poor start to the campaign will cost the Blues in the long run? Get your thoughts into us between now and seven, and stay tuned until then, so we've got plenty more of a discussion to come with a preview of this weekend's game up in Bristol too, right here on the only radio station from Great Waterfront City. This is the Friday Football Hour on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to the Football Hour, driven to you this season by Stagecoach across the South. Find out more information on everything they have to offer by visiting their website, stagecoach.co.uk. Like normal this evening, I'm asking you back home to get involved with the chat. Send us your questions and score predictions and let us know where you're listening in from as well. Would you like to see Ross McCrory maintain his position at right back for tomorrow's trip to Bristol Rovers? Or would you prefer to see his abilities utilised in the centre of midfield? Do you think John Marcus's goal against Lincoln on Tuesday night will be the start of another free scoring season for him? And how confident are you now following a return of 10 points out of a possible 15 in the previous 5 league games of the Blues challenging for promotion come the tail end of the campaign? The number to text starting your message with the word Express is 81400. Pompey at expressfm.com is our email address, and at expressfm is where to find us on Twitter. Tuesday night then, Mark, we mentioned John Marcus. He kind of broke his goal drought for Pompey 2 months since he last scored a league goal for the Blues. I won't remind you of that game. It was that one, that 3-3 draw against Coventry at Fratton Park. It was a long time coming, Mark, but an unwanted record that's now hopefully gone, and will lead on to a free scoring campaign.
As you're being all optimistic now. Marcus himself, I think, got it right, didn't he? Was it yesterday, day before? And he said, you know, there's more than one way to skin a cat. You can either have the mentality that you know, we know some of the Premiership managers have, like Jurgen Klopp's the obvious example, and it wouldn't mind him here. And you try and you think, right, you're going to score 3, we'll score 4, we'll score 5, and you just try and get more goals in the opposition, and that's the opposite of Kenny Jackett's philosophy. Yeah. I think Marcus is ready for a hard season where he's going to have to graft and just snatch these goals, like, you know, as you said he did the other day. I don't think he's not going to score anything like he has in the past. No. It's a different setup here.
It is going to be a difficult season for him, James, isn't it? You kind of think, you know, under the style of play that Kenny Jackett is kind of used to, and John Marcus he's used to as well at Doncaster, they are two completely different sides of the spectrum, and that's no criticism to any of them, but it's two completely different styles mixing into one, and you kind of hope that John Marcus, maybe he can, I don't know, what can he do to try and balance the books and maybe get himself scoring?
Yeah, I think one thing's quite obvious is he's going to work hard for it.
Yeah,
you can see in his performances so far this season, there's no one in the team that's going to work harder than him, closing balls down, chasing and fighting for every ball. Obviously, we've worked with two up front. We've tried playing with a 10. I'd be interested to see him play with Ollie Hawkins when he comes back.
Yeah.
Because if we're going to insist on the style that we play, Ollie Hawkins winning long balls and knockdowns for Marcus to feed off and in and around him should be an interesting combination.
We got a text in, no name on this one, but says Ollie Hawkins returning will ignite our season. Play him up front, play Tony Pulis style, and the goals will come. We will be excited about going to Fratton Park again. Mark, can you see that working, Ollie Hawkins?
Do you know what? We were having a chat. Yeah. It works blooming hard, Ollie. Because he's a big lad, you don't get off the free kicks he should do, but he gets thrown all over the place, and he'll often just play with back to goal, nod it on for someone else. And it reminded us a little, it's fair to say, little bit of when Harry had Crouch and Defoe up front, a big one and a little one, as he used to call them. It would mean a change in style, wouldn't it? Which is something I can't see Kenny Jackett.
I would say it would mean, James, perhaps a revert back to 4-4-2, and then you're missing, well, we are missing a creative midfielder anyway, but missing someone to fit in that slot.
Exactly. I mean, it's square pegs, round holes, isn't it? I mean, we insist at times with playing with this 10, whether it be Evans or Cannon. Naturally, that's not their position. And I think with the style that we tend to play, if you can get two players closer together in the top third of the pitch, instead you'll get the 10 dropping in, defending that little bit deeper, and then you get a player isolated like Marcus is so often. So yeah, it could be interesting.
Daniel Kirby says, in regards to John Marquis, there's no chance he will reach or equal his goal tally of 21 goals last season for Doncaster. The service isn't good enough, and his running off the last man football he obviously prefers and is his strength is not preferred to Jacket hoofball. His positional play is the only saving grace. Thanks to I think Daniel for the tweet. Alan Swift on the email says, well, a bit fortunate, should I say scrappy, but a very welcome win at Rovers. Yeah, that is a recent email. Yeah, this seems nearly a replica of the start of last season. A tight defence and putting away one or two chances, but it all went AWOL towards Christmas. That caused our style was Too predictable with the hoof ball in, very scrappy, and we got found out. This similarity has continued even to now. Think about it, the defence has changed, attack changed, with the central midfield still the same. And the centre midfield, lack of genuine creativity. It really points to a lack of centre mid creativity that view is nailed on. I ask myself, is this how Kenny Jackett achieved promotion at other clubs? I find it hard to believe. At the minute, I'd put Ollie up front with John Marquis tucked in behind, working hard and picking up the scraps. He's quality, so do give him the service he deserves. So not ruining another top professional, marksman top quality, like it seems you have with Brett Pittman. That type of pairing worked last year with Brett on song, Say No More. Cannon in with Naylor in central midfield with same in the defence, maybe Sparta from right back. Not sure what Sparta is. I forecast a very scrappy win tomorrow against Bristol Rovers, but how long can this carry on with Kenny's selections? May he be found out once more. Fingers crossed, but not full of confidence like the players. Yours honestly, Adam Salcy. A lot to delve into there, James, but one of his points was Andy Cannon, a player who's been really begged to play from a lot of Pompey fans out there. Everyone knows what he's capable of and what he can bring to the team. What do you think? Does he fit in central midfield alongside Naylor, or do you push him a bit further forward?
I think with the system being as it is, if you insist on a 4-2-3-1, don't see Cannon as a holding midfielder.
No.
So he needs to be let loose a little bit. So if you change to a 3 with a conventional holding midfielder, he could definitely slot into that system. Or, like we said, if you went to a conventional 4-4-2, he could then push forward to support the forwards, and then Naylor would just drop him behind. So he's unfortunate to find himself out of the team, especially with, I think, the form of Ben Close lately. He's not been to the standard that everyone would have liked. He looks a little bit short on confidence.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Not the same player, perhaps, as the start of the season. No.
Not right now.
In regards to Andy Cannon and Ross McCrory, then, two players who perhaps really should be within a sniff of the first team, Mark, where do you see Ross McCrory as best, then? Because you mentioned earlier, perhaps centre-back. Kenny does prefer him at right-back, but we also know he can play in the central midfield.
He can play in centre midfield, but he's always going to be second to Naylor, who's arguably been our best player of the season so far. I'd like to see him at centre-back, purely looking on passing percentages. And Evans, who's hardly played, we know he can do right-back. He'll play anywhere you ask him to, and his passing percentage is the highest, along with Andy Cannon. And Andy Cannon, like you said, did nothing wrong at all and finds himself out of the team. And he's not on loan, and he's one of ours, and we can develop him. And he's got so much passion. And I think him and Curtis are the two guys with the most passion in the team, visibly, and all that youth and energy. And I'm absolutely gutted for Cannon. He hasn't had more games.
No,
it's high time he was back in. And I'd have McCrory at the back, and I'd put Evans in as well.
Interesting from Mark. I ran a poll on Twitter earlier today. Where do you Pompey fans think Ross McCrory is best suited within the Pompey lineup? The options were right back, central defensive midfield, central attacking midfield, and elsewhere as well. The overwhelming winner with 57% of the votes was central defensive midfield, with the runner-up central attacking midfield, Ross McCrory. So interesting to see what the Pompey fans on social media think of that one. Speaking of a number 10 role then, James, we'll go to that one, because Pompey undoubtedly lacking that creative midfielder going forward, creating the chances, delivering the service up front to John Marquis. We've seen a number of players within that role this season, but two players who we haven't really seen there, Ronan Curtis, Marcus Harness. Marcus Harness has been hinted this week that he may be trialled there as such tomorrow at Bristol Rovers. Out of those two players, if you had to trial one of those in that position, who would you go for and why?
Marcus Harness.
Yeah.
I think he's got the ability to manoeuvre the ball out of tight spaces. Great turn of pace as well, over 5-10 yards, so we can accelerate the attack in them central areas, which is something we've severely lacked. He's definitely worth a shot there, and he can finish as well, so if he does find himself in them situations, he will get goals, I believe.
Let's talk about Ronan Curtis, Mark, because a player who for weeks we'd kind of been discussing on the show, maybe he needed a break, maybe just a couple of games to sit out and kind of refresh and rejuvenate ahead of a long season to come. He had a few games out. He's come on against Wimbledon, he came on against Lincoln in midweek as a sub, and really he looks a better player for that.
He is a little better, and I was interested in James's point of view, but you know, from a managerial professional point of view, in terms of his development, because he's still young. He's one in terms of personality, he might well be my favourite player in that squad. I love his passion, love the fact he wears his heart on his sleeve, and I I'm disappointed in the Pompey fans that get on his back, because they should know better. You know, he's one of ours, and he is a passionate guy, and he's going to feel that more keenly if we start criticising him. We need to support him every step of the way, because he only wants, I think this was reported well in the news as well, he only wants to do well for us. And his family are all there, aren't they? I mean, his mum's a personality at the club. He's definitely an important personality for us, and he'll be a fantastic player. But if you don't mind, I'm going to deflect to James and just ask him what he thinks. Because it's not a straight... You were talking about Raggett going up, you know, and improving. And he's on loan. You know, we need to invest in Curtis. He's been up there. He's performed at a peak. He's, you know, got a place in the Ireland squad.
Yeah.
And now we've had that little dip. But you were saying you've seen, like Jake was saying, some improvements.
Yeah, I think I noticed in the game Tuesday when he came on, I think he crossed the ball two or three times with his left foot. Yeah. And if you're looking back in previous games, he'd normally always come back to his right foot.
Cutting.
Yeah. And he was getting to the point where he had to add something new to his game because he was getting found out. But then on top of that, a little bit of complacency had crept in with his performances because he was comfortable in the team. He wasn't being challenged. So I think him being dropped out by Kenny Jackett could be a blessing in the long run because he needed that little kick up the backside to get him back into gear and to add an extra element to his game that we haven't seen, and I think you'll see it now.
In regards to that, James, then, in the short run, thinking ahead to tomorrow's game against Bristol Rovers, does he get into the Pompey 11 straight away with Marcus Harness and I think Ryan Williams really playing well on the wings? Does he get into your lineup, or is it going to take another few weeks to really for him to prove himself, to really get back into and really assert into the first team?
Yeah, I think on form right now, I would tend to go with the two, Williams and Harness. I don't think either have done much wrong to warrant not being in the starting 11. But great options, though, between the three. Mm. Really great options to have. I do think Curtis will get back in eventually. But right now, I would stick with the two that we have.
Well, he did well last season, of course, didn't he? Scoring that winner over, you know, against the Gas away. Mm. I'd like to see all three of them, I must admit.
It would be interesting.
Lined up together and then Cannon in instead of Close.
It depends on your system, doesn't it, and what's going to happen. But
okay, speaking of men with passion, let's hear from the Blues vice-captain now. iFollow's Johnny Moore has caught up with left-back Lee Brown.
It is frustrating, but in football, it happens. It happens quite a lot. We've been a team. I think we only done it as recent as Doncaster, really, for me. And it does happen, and it is frustrating when you've had good amount of the ball, good possession, and you've had chances, and then you look comfortable in the game. I'd say we look quite comfortable Saturday against Wimbledon, and then they get one set piece in the last kick of the game, and they score. Of course, it's frustrating. Everyone's frustrated. The fans are frustrated. The players are frustrated. The manager, the staff, everyone's frustrated. Of course, it's only natural to be frustrated. But you've got to bounce back, and luckily we did that Tuesday night.
Listen, fair play to you. You came out after that Wimbledon game, stood in front of the cameras. You were quite explicit in that, and you said it's up to the players.
Yeah, of course, yeah, I've got a bit of stick for it, but that's football, you know. Am I hammering the fans? No, I weren't. Why would I do that? Why would I kill myself in that way and do that? I think if you read the whole interview, the 90% of people realise and read the whole interview and see what I was trying to get at. Mm. Of course the players have got to take responsibility. Of course the manager's got to take responsibility. Everyone's got to take responsibility. And that was the main gist of it, you know. And I think we did that Saturday night. Yeah, it probably wasn't a great, great performance, but it was a performance where you see that everyone was fighting for each other. Everyone was fighting for each other. Everyone wanted the same thing. And luckily we got that Tuesday night. We got the win, and we go on to Saturday now.
Surprise, surprise. Well, we've got you here today. You're actually playing Bristol Rovers on Saturday. What a coincidence.
Oh, yeah. That's what I thought I was here.
Good to go back again?
Yeah, of course. It's a place where I've spent 7-8 years of my life there. Had some great memories, got promotions. We had a great squad of players and some great memories. I think we've got players here now who have been here 3-4 years who are quite big in the club. You've got Evans, Burgess, who have made 200 appearances, and we're celebrating them. So Bristol, I made 350 and was here there 7-8 years. So it shows, when you put it in context, how long I was there for. And in that time you make friends, you make long life friends and stuff, so it's good to go back and see them old faces. But obviously it's business at the end of the day. I want to win, and they know that. They know how I play. They know how my mentality. It doesn't matter if I was playing my family on Saturday, I'd want to win. So it's all about winning for me.
We asked the other week about Tom Naylor, what does the captain's role entail? What does the vice captain's role entail?
No, a lot, to be honest with you. Literally, nothing. No, I think it's just a support for nows, really. No, nothing really changes from before. Obviously, I'm just there for it to be an ear for nails. For me myself, I don't really change as much as because I'm vice captain. I do this now. It's sort of just being me and being what I'd have done before, really. But obviously, if nails wants to speak to me or discuss something, we can obviously speak about it and go from there.
And a run of games. Win them, and it puts it right, doesn't it?
Yeah, of course. Winning football matches is everything. It's a results business. And look, everyone wants to win football matches. It's such a much better place if you're winning football matches. No one's getting abused. No one's, you know, everything's so much better when you're winning football matches. So it's so important. And players know that. The staff know that. The players know that. Everyone knows that in football. It's a results business. And if you can get a good run together, it's all so much more enjoyable.
So if you can go from Tuesday night and put a few more together, the world will be a better place in a month's time?
Cool, let's hope so. But of course, yeah, it's one game at a time. You know, I think we can't look too far ahead, because beating Bristol Rovers on Saturday is going to be a tough task, you know. They're just outside the playoffs, I believe. They've been on good form. They're at home. They've got a good record at home. So for us, it's just focus on the next game. Don't look too far in front. Let's tick the next game off, try and do our best we can to win it, however way possible, and go from there.
Lee Brown there speaking to iFollow's Johnny Moore, previewing the weekend's action at the Memorial Stadium, where he will be returning, actually, as a former Bristol Rovers player. It's time now to take a breather as we head into the third and final part of this evening's show. The number to text if you want to get involved is 81400, starting your messages with the word Express. It's Pompey at expressfm.com on the emails, and at expressfm on Twitter. Where would you like to see Ross McCrory start, if indeed he makes your starting 11 for tomorrow's game against Bristol Rovers? How many goals will John Marquis score for the Blues this season? He netted his second in the league on Tuesday night, but can he replicate the 21 League One strikes for Doncaster last time out? And let us know your score predictions for tomorrow afternoon's match too. It's League One action, and it's Bristol Rovers versus Pompey at the Memorial Stadium. And that's the game the three of us are going to be previewing when we return, so don't go anywhere now, as we've still got a lot more to come, including an in-depth look into this week's opposition right here on the Express FM Football Hour.
The Express Radio Marathon with Mason Jordan. 48 hours, 3 charities, 1 idiot.
The countdown is on to our 48-hour radio marathon supporting 3 incredible local charities. All cool signs, Pompey in the Community and Portsmouth Hospitals Charity. You can get involved, find out more about it and donate ahead of time at expressfm.com/marathon. And I hope you can join me Wednesday, the 30th of October from 8 a.m. for 48 hours.
Portsmouth Breakfast with Bisco Solicitors. Local, experienced, reliable. Visit their website, bisco-law.co.uk. This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Good evening and welcome back for the final time tonight to the Friday Football Hour, which is brought to you by our sponsors, Stagecoach South. Don't forget to keep those score predictions coming into us this evening. We'll be reading those out towards the end of the show. 81400 is the number to text. Start those with the word Express, followed by your name and message. Email us pompey@expressfm.com or send us a tweet at Express FM. But before we get anywhere near those, let's take a look at tomorrow's opposition, and it's Bristol Rovers who are up next for the Blues.
After the victory over Lincoln City at Fratton Park in midweek, it's back on the road for the Blues this weekend, and the destination for the next fixture in Skybet League One is the Memorial Stadium.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
Kenny Jackett's rejuvenated side have won 3 of the last 5 league outings, and the problems at the back seem to have been tweaked. This weekend, they visit tough opponents in the form of Bristol Rovers at the Keepmoat Stadium, a team known by their fans as the Gas. Let's delve deeper now into what the Blues will be going up against when they go toe-to-toe with Bristol Rovers.
Manager.
44-year-old Irishman Graham Coughlan is the man currently holding the position of the Bristol Rovers manager. Coughlan, who retired after 19 seasons as a centre-back for 10 different clubs across the UK and Ireland, joined the Gas as a defensive coach in 2018 and was soon promoted to the caretaker manager position in December following the departures of Darryl Clark and Marcus Stewart. His first managerial position was made permanent in January, and he has since seen over 19 wins from 46 league games in charge, whilst also steering the club to League One safety last season.
One to watch.
Loyal club servant Ollie Clark will be one to keep an eye out for this weekend. The 27-year-old midfielder has played a key part for the team at the Memorial Stadium since 2013. That's after successful loans at Gloucester City, Mangotsfield United and Clevedon Town as a youngster. Clark has made over 200 appearances for his boyhood club and now wears the number 8 shirt for the side, who will be donning their distinctive blue and white check shirts this weekend.
Top scorer.
With 7 League One strikes to his name, 25-year-old forward Johnson Clark-Harris claims the title of the leading scorer for his side at this early stage, having featured in only 10 of the Rovers' opening 14 league fixtures. The striker, who joined the Gas from Coventry City in January, has carried over his impressive form from the tail end of the last campaign, where he netted 11 goals in 16 appearances for his new side.
Current form.
It's been neither a good or bad start for Graham Coughlan's side, who sit in 11th position after their opening 14 matches. Prior to Tuesday's defeat to Bolton Wanderers at the Memorial Stadium, the Gas had gone through their opening 7 home league fixtures unbeaten, winning 6 and drawing just the once during that time. The midweek loss also represented consecutive 2-0 defeats after they left Doncaster Rovers empty-handed last weekend. Prior to those results, however, Rovers had gone unbeaten in 7 matches in all competitions, scoring 12 and conceding 6 across that period. Bristol Rovers left Doncaster Rovers empty-handed last weekend, but will the Blues be leaving empty-handed as they travel to the Memorial Stadium?
A closer look there at this week's opposition, Bristol Rovers. Okay, let's take a few moments now to hear all you need to know on how to make it to the Memorial Stadium, whether you're leaving Portsmouth via car or train. Keep those ears pricked up now, as the next few moments could prove very useful to you ahead of departing for the game tomorrow morning.
The Blues are back on the road this weekend, and it's Memorial Stadium in the southwest, which is the venue for the League One clash between Bristol Rovers and Portsmouth. The ground has a capacity of just over 12,000, only 3,000 of which is seated. Pompey fans will mostly be housed in the uncovered East Stand Terrace on one of the far sides, with few seats allocated to the South Stand behind one goal. The Memorial Stadium is located on Filton Avenue, just off the Gloucester Road at the A38, approximately 2 miles from the centre of Bristol. The postcode for your sat-nav, if you are heading up via the car, is BS70BF. That's BS70BF. The destination is well signposted, with brown and white signs from the main motorway junctions on the M32 and the M5. From the M4, you need to leave at junction 19 and join the M32. Travel along the M32 for about 3 miles to junction 2. Exit there and take the third exit signposted Hornfield and South Mead. Continue along this road, following the signs for the Memorial Stadium until you come to signalled controlled crossroads. If you turn left here to the Filton Avenue, you will see the ground easily on the left-hand side. There are limited options in the way of nearby parking to the stadium. The stadium car park is only accessible to permit holders, and spaces are not available on a match-by-match basis. There should be street parking within a 5 to 10 minute walk off the ground in Muller Road, Gloucester Road, Kellaway Avenue and the side roads off them too. But do be aware, these are predominantly residential areas, and you'll need to assure that private driveways are not obstructed. If you are going by train, they run hourly from Portsmouth to Bristol Temple Meads, leaving Portsmouth Harbour at 23 minutes past the hour. The journey takes about 2.5 hours. After the match, return trains leave Bristol Temple Meads for Portsmouth at 22 minutes past 6, 7 and 8 p.m. They're quite distant from the station to the ground, so you'll either need to take a taxi from Bristol Temple Meads, or buses 73, 73A and 73B run from the station to Filton Avenue. The nearest station to the ground is Filton Abbey Wood, but unfortunately on the 26th, the train service from Bristol Temple Meads to Filton Abbey Wood will be replaced by 5 buses and the journey will take about half an hour. There are plenty of pubs and places to eat in the city centre. There's a Wetherspoons pub near to Bristol Temple Meads Station called the Knights Templar in the square, nearer to the ground, and on past visits welcoming Blues fans is the Crafty Cow pub on Gloucester Road, formerly known as the Duke of York and the Gloucester Arms. It's been fully refurbished, is family friendly and serves food with craft beers, real ales, draft lagers and ciders. Inside the ground there are Cornish pasties and a range of pies and sausage rolls, as well as hot and cold drinks. Please know that alcohol is not usually on sale in the away sections of the ground. For up-to-date travel information on the day, please follow at Pompey FC Cup on Twitter and visit nationalrail.co.uk for up-to-date rail updates.
There we are then. A big thanks to Mason Jordan for providing us with that information, and also thanks to Pam Wilkins from the Pompey Supporters Trust for sending across the details required to put that together. OK, moving on then, gents. Tomorrow's game, Bristol Rovers versus Pompey. James, we're going up against a team who, prior to Tuesday's loss at home to Bolton, had gone their opening 7 games of the season unbeaten at the Memorial Stadium. So they're going to be tough opponents.
Yeah, of course. No games are taken for granted. Obviously, it's a very old-fashioned little ground, but we're used to that, playing at Fratton Park. I think with a lot of Pompey fans now, people are starting to lean towards performance more than results. So if we can find that complete performance, because, you know, you go from Wimbledon looking good going forwards, not so good at the back, then you go into Tuesday and it flips the other way. So if you can get that consistent overall performance, then results should follow.
My lineup for tomorrow's game then, gents, this is what I'm going to go for. I'd like to see Fort at the back. I'd go for Gareth Evans, Christian Burgess, Sean Raggett and Lee Brown. I'd go for Naylor and McCrory in the centre midfield, and in front of the defence with Andy Cadden in behind John Marquis, with Harness and Williams on the wings. I don't know about you two. I know kind of off air and on air we've been debating, but so many different variations of lineups you'd go for. But if I were to ask you now, Mark, for your definitive lineup for tomorrow's game, what would you go for?
Well, it would be a little different to that, and we were talking again about Ben Close being a massive Pompey asset, but hasn't done Curtis any harm, just coming out for a little while and then coming back in and looking like he's brought that edge back. And I think the same for Ben Close. I'd have him out for Andy Cannon for this game, alongside Naylor, who I think is undroppable.
No.
And then I'd have Harness centre attack in midfield, and either side I'd bring Curtis back in and Williams, and I would have Marquis up front, but there's another player you want to talk about later.
There is Ellis Harrison. I've been a big fan, and I think you mentioned off air, Mark, he is the leading goal scorer for the club this season in all competitions.
Yeah, and in terms of goals per minute, he soars above everyone.
It's strange really to have not spoken about him yet, but he's not starting games. But on the flip side of it, James, you can't really see him budging John Marquis, especially not after his goal in midweek as well, and obviously with Kenny Jackett's preference to one striker up top. Could he prove as a useful super sub, or is he much more than that?
I think he has proved to be a useful super sub thus far. Marquis, for me, is immovable out of that team. He is the big summer signing. Pompey fans want to see him in the team every week. 21 goals last season. So, for me, he's unfortunate that he's up against such a prolific, proven goal scorer. I know we haven't seen it fully yet. But if you go over two, I know it did get tried out a few games ago, it didn't quite come off, but again, it takes games and minutes to build partnerships.
Okay, moving on then, as we do approach the final few minutes of the show. Andy Rowlands on Twitter says, I'd like to ask James how he feels the women's team this season will progress, as they seem to have hit top gear now and are playing well. We're going to hear from Ian Chifton in a second. He's going to preview this weekend's action, James, but in answer to the question, how do you see the season going?
We're in a really good run of form at the moment. We're in a good place. Players have been excellent the last few weeks, but it's a long season. What I will say is, if you want to see chances and goals, then come and watch us. Because
an emphatic win on Sunday against Leighton Orient.
Yeah, like I say, we're creating a lot of chances, and at the moment we're being fortunate enough to take them. So it's a long season. There's a lot of work to be done, but we're in a good place right now.
Just for the fans who perhaps don't really know too much about the Pompey women, what division are they in? How far away are they from the top? I know there's a lot of games in hand, actually, for the girls.
Yeah, we've got two or three in hand, and if we manage to get some good results in them, it should push us into contention at the top of the table. We are third tier, so it's National League South, because it's split regionally. We reached the last 16 of the League Cup last week. FA Cup to come later in the year, where we could draw on Arsenal or Chelsea, etc.
So yeah,
great. Okay, it's time now to hear from Ian Chiverton, who provides us with a preview of what's to come this weekend as far as the Pompey women are concerned.
Hi everyone, my name is Ian Chiverton and welcome to the Pompey Women Preview. Pompey Women's disruptive start to the season continued last Sunday when their League Cup match against Leyton Orient was called off due to a waterlogged pitch. The game has now moved to this Sunday, 2pm kickoff at the Mile End Stadium in London. Despite there being no game for Pompey Women on grass, it's been a huge week for two of the current squad. Goalkeeper Hannah Horton and midfielder Katie James have been in Doha representing the Team GB Women's Beach Soccer Team at the World Beach Games. Also in the squad was ex-Pompey players Rebecca Barron, Molly Clark, Dean Bazan, Sarah Kempson, and the only female footballer to be in the Pompey Hall of Fame, Gemma Hillier. Great Britain went into the tournament ranked second in the world and were going for gold. They won all their group games, beating Paraguay 5-4, USA 5-2 and Russia 4-1. That's out for semi-final with Brazil. Great Britain came from 4-2 down in the final third to win 6-4, with Pompey keeper Hannah Horton saving a free kick, which is basically a penalty in beach soccer, with 2 seconds left. Then it was on to the final where they would play world number one Spain. It was an extremely tight game and Spain won 3-2, with Great Britain coming so close to equalising several times. So the girls had to settle for silver. Still a remarkable achievement. Everyone in the country, especially Pompey, should be incredibly proud of what they've done. Katie and Hannah will be returning to Pompey Women Heroes with their silver medals and deserve a fantastic reception. You have the chance to do that when Pompey have a home game against Yeovil at Baffin's Milton on the 27th of October. That's all for this week, but as always, you can see all the previous match highlights on our YouTube channel, Pompey Women Vlogs.
Ian Chiverton there with a look ahead to this weekend's Pompey Women action. The girls are at home to Yeovil. Kickoff, as mentioned, is 2pm at the PMC Stadium. One more email to read out before we go. Chris in Italy. John Marquis and a birthday. Hi, chaps. First of all, raise a glass of Prosecco. It's my 60th tomorrow. Happy birthday to you, Chris. So a Pompey win at Bristol, please. I found John Marquis's interview after Lincoln very interesting. He spoke good truth and I think he'd make a good captain. But once again, Kenny's tactics and how you play Marquis are at odds. For my present, please rest close tomorrow. Play Andy Cannon and put Gareth Evans in for right back so McCrory can move more attacking. 52 years since my first home game to Bolton. We won that 4-1, so a repeat result would be welcome. Best of all, it was the first time I saw a game in colour, not black and white. Thanks to Chris in Italy and happy birthday. Alan Swift is going for a 1-0 win tomorrow. We're getting to the end of the show. Mark Coates, Bristol Rovers, Pompey. Goal prediction. Score prediction.
I think we might be the same as last year. 2-1. I'm going to be positive.
2-1. James?
2-0 Pompey.
2-0 Pompey. 2-1. 2-0. Those are predictions of Mark and James. I think I'm going to go for a 2-0 Pompey win for this one. Yeah, 2-0. Okay, that's just about all we've got time for this evening. I'd like to start off by thanking both Mark Coates and James Wilson for coming on to join me on tonight's show. And thanks also to everybody back home who got in touch via the text, tweets and emails as well. And not forgetting as well our sponsors, Stagecoach Across the South, for helping to bring the show to you this season. Your Friday evening on Express looks like this then. Reg Rose and Mason Jordan return for another hour of your weekend requests. And things are getting spooky tonight as they are both getting into the spirit of the season. They win your Halloween request between 7 and 8. Between 8 and 10pm, Gloria Miller is back with Music for the Soul before a groovy mixture of the usual 60s soul, R&B and beat music through till midnight. Hipshaker is here from 10pm. Saturday Breakfast with Ian McGuinness is back from 7am tomorrow evening. Tomorrow morning, rather. Ian will be here through till 10 with all of the latest music, local events and the sport and travel updates too. Robbie James will have nothing but just great songs from 10 through till midday, where Lily Park takes control with more great music, the Tidy Quiz and a look ahead to what's happening in Portsmouth this weekend. And then from 2pm, it's back to the football and it's League One action at the Memorial Stadium as the Blues travel to Bristol Rovers for their latest challenge. Full coverage, including kick-by-kick commentary, comes live to you from 2pm. Can Kenny Jackett's side make it 2 wins on the bounce? Find out and don't miss a second of the unmissable action right here on Express FM and iFollow Pompey from 2pm. Until then, have a great evening and play up Pompey.